These last few days, most of us have been spending some long hours with family members, right? And so we've had some serious experience of family. So I don't know if it's a cruel joke on the part of the church to have the celebration of the Holy Family right after Christmas, just after, or in the midst of when we've been spending a lot of time with families. Maybe there is hope. You can get through this. Well, part of that's a joke, but we all know that, you know, within the family, there can be the richest, most wonderful, deepest sort of relationships that exist on earth, right? And at the same time, wherever there is a great capacity for something good, there's just as great a capacity for destructiveness and pain. So some of the worst suffering comes through and in families, right? Just like, you know, as far as grace and sin goes, St. Teresa of Lisieux, you know, she was he's a great saint in the Catholic Church, a doctor of the church. And she says that if she would not have chosen the path of religious life, she would have been one of the worst of sinners. Those who have the greatest capacity to love have the greatest capacity for sin. In those forums or those associations, like the family, as it has such a great capacity for communion, it also has a great capacity for destruction and pain and sorrow. We all taste it on both sides, right? And so we hold up today the Holy Family, which Pope Emeritus Benedict says that is the perfect model for us, perfect model of family. Well, how do we aspire for our families to be like the perfect family? You know, Mary's without sin, Jesus is God, right? And Joseph was pretty good. Is that a pipe dream? As St. Alphonsus Liguori says, is that something just to be admired, you know, not something to be imitated? I think the church, that's not what the church says. The church is saying that there is a lot to be imitated. And so what do we imagine the Holy Family was like anyway? Was it, you know, it was just complete peace and harmony and beauty and goodness all the time? Absolutely not. Think about what we just heard in the gospel. You know, here the Holy Family goes with the caravan, goes with, you know, extended family members to make the trip to Jerusalem to the temple, right? And they're on their way home, and 24 hours have passed, and they think Jesus is with some of his cousins, and he's not, right? And so when they're in a desperate state, and they go back to Jerusalem, and after 3 days they find him. And so Mary's response to Jesus was, oh, there you are. You are so cute. You were away for a few days. It's just darling. No. Son, why have you done this to us? Right? Is that someone who is, you know, content and at peace and, you know, okay with what's been going on? No, her expectations were a little bit different. You're 12 years old. If you're going to be going somewhere, you should tell us, right? And what's going through Joseph's mind at that time? And then Jesus, what's Jesus' response? Oh, yeah, I guess I should have told you. We should have, you know, communicated better. Didn't you know I was supposed to be in my father's house? His expectations are different. And so here we have the perfect family having their own struggles, working out the plan of God in their lives. You know, and part of this, the tension that they experience is around expectations, right? Everybody in the family has different expectations of what should be happening. And so what do we hear Mary do a lot throughout the Gospels? Whenever, almost every time that we hear a reference to her, she pondered on those things. You know, she had to take 10 minutes to kind of think about what just happened here because she's confused or she's amazed or she's in awe. Think about that in relation to our own families. It's like we all come together. We all have different ideas. We some beliefs we come together on. Some beliefs, as you know, probably in these last couple days, we don't come together on. And so we have different expectations of how a family is supposed to live and what's the duties and responsibilities of each member in the family. And that can cause all kinds of contention. So how do we work that out? Well, we look to the Holy Family. And what do? Well, they have communication and they listen and they become aware that each member is different and they have to respect that those differences to live out this community, to live out this reality. So it is okay if we experience frustration and contention at times among our own family members, because we're all unique individuals, and God has a plan for each one of us, and God has not written it out so it's clear to every member in the family, you know, how things are supposed to roll. And so there are going to be disagreements. So the key is not that, you know, we're eye to eye and everybody knows everything about what's going on and how we move forward. We see that's not the way it was for the Holy Family, the perfect model. It's that in the midst of the differences, that we have a love and respect for one another and the realization that we are all heading towards the same goal. And so what are some of the things that we can do within our own families, you might say? Well, I think we begin by first realizing that mercy is essential to the success of a family. And what does mercy look like? Well, mercy looks like maybe being intentional about putting the other person or the other member of the family's needs before my own, right? And keeping in mind that my way doesn't have to be the way that we take each time. So I can have a merciful look, a merciful gaze at the different family members, right? I see them. I'm not seeing myself and whatever I want. If we can just get over ourselves, that'd be a good movement, right? Another practical thing that we can do is every single day, we can be intentional about praying for our family members by name. It's so simple. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands, but I would doubt there's probably very few of us in here that pray for our family members by name each day. But yet, if we talked about it, we'd be like, well, of course, that's a no-brainer, right? But what happens when we pray for someone individually? Well, first of all, it does shower grace upon the person, but it also changes our hearts and helps us to see the other person, the other family member, as Christ sees them. That's what we do. We open the door to Christ when we pray for another person, and then we begin to relate to them as Christ relates to them. And that can change, that can transform hearts. So something simple and applying it and being intentional can be transforming, such as prayer, intentional, deliberate prayer for our family members. What else can we do? I think one of the most important things we can do is take the Catechism of the Catholic Church's advice in regards to judgments and rash judgments according to how we judge our neighbor, right, or how we judge our family member or a different situation, right? Because we know when family members get together, there's a lot of evaluating that goes on, right? Okay? Kind of can't believe they did that. What's wrong with that kid? Okay. The Catechism quotes St. Ignatius of Loyola in its passage on how we are to judge our neighbor, how we are to relate to our neighbor in regards to their actions and behavior. And the line from St. Ignatius is this, that we are to give the most favorable interpretation possible to the behavior or actions of words of the other person. We usually do the exact opposite, right? The most disfavorable interpretation of their action or their behavior or their words. How far that would go? Because our almost automatic judgment that's going on is normally towards the worst interpretation, you know, that there's malice on the other part. But we certainly don't judge ourselves in that way, right? If we just would judge maybe in relating to our brothers and sisters, our family members, and giving them the benefit of the doubt, that's kind of, you know, what that can be reduced to, that can help us to move in a certain sense, proverbial mountains in our relationships with our family members. And why is it so important that we would spend a lot of work building up our families? It's because almost every part of the life of faith, the model that is used according to what the church is, who God is, it's all family-oriented. How do we relate to the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we don't get families and we don't understand family life and the way it's supposed to work, and we don't know how to bring mercy into our families, we're not going to understand the family of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Trinity. St. John Paul II said that the best image for the Trinity is family. All right? So it matters. Our experience and how we are committed to our own families and making progress has a direct relationship to how we relate to the Heavenly Father and the Son of God and the Holy Spirit. What do we know about the Catholic Church? What is the Church? What's the best model for us to understand what the Church is? An institution? A building? Go to the Catechism. What the Catechism says, that the model for the Church is the family of God. There we go again. If I don't understand family, I'm not going to understand what church is, right? And then that means I'm not going to be living according to the way God is calling me if I'm not relating to the church as God created it. How about a parish? How do we understand a parish? The whole Catholic Church is the family of God. So, you know, where do parishes fall into this? Well, Pope Francis says that the church is experienced at the parish level. So our experience of the church as family happens in the parish, in a parish. And so this feast, this solemnity of the Holy Family gives us a lot to ponder and think about. As I mentioned, it offers family, whether it's a domestic family, whether it's a parish family, whether it's a universal church, whether it's God and the Trinity as family, offers us the deepest and most satisfying of all relationships, whether it's the natural level or supernatural level. But it also, on the backside, has the potential to be the most destructive and most painful part of our individual lives. And that's why when we talk about the year of mercy, where mercy has to begin, if there's truly going to be transformation in the world, mercy has to begin in our individual families. And the reality is, it's not going to be easy. And we need the grace of God to have the energy and the commitment to make a difference on that level. If we start making a difference on that level, the domestic church, the domestic family, all right, then our parishes are going to be transformed, our church is going to be transformed, our world is going to be transformed.